I'm surprised we haven't seen even more creators take the shift.
Is it all pros with multi-streaming?
Like, if you're going to spend X amount of time doing something, setting it up, potential problems, all the things that you listed there outside of all the other things that can go wrong, do you actually get a return on that investment from it?
Welcome to the Creator CEO, where we unravel the business behind the content. We hear from creators, the people behind them, and the systems that they've built.
Today's topic was going to be focused on AI, but I made a decision to switch that to multi-streaming, and there's a couple of reasons that I think that's really important. You know, it's extremely topical right now off the back of Twitch's announcement in October. There's an upcoming event that YouTube's hosting that is going to be centered around simul-streaming, so you're going to get a snippet of that. And we're seeing some contracts ending, like the last of the Facebook contracts are ending. There's not a lot of those big platform contracts happening at the Twitch level, YouTube level, Facebook level anymore. So a lot of creators are evaluating multi-streaming. It's not a new concept. It's been around for a long time. Stone was actually you, kind of a pioneer on this front. You've done a lot of stuff on this already. Yeah. So I'm excited to go deeper into this. But if you do not know Stone, I will give Stone, let me give you a brief intro, Stone.
So I've been streaming for about 12 years now. And when multi-streaming was first starting and like gaining some popularity, when the tools were like becoming more accessible to do this rather than streaming off of your computer and setting up multiple OBSs, etc. There was a couple companies I tried even working with multiple of them to set that up. I had originally been streaming on Twitch, YouTube, and then I decided to even cancel my Twitch partnership to specifically do multi-streaming since I had built up some YouTube audience, even trying to do like main YouTube for a while. Regardless, I managed to spend some time with this back in 2015, 2016, and had pretty good effect. I managed to build up about 1,500 subscribers over on Patreon through multi-streaming to all the different platforms, that kind of being the resulting funnel before signing over exclusive to Facebook later on. But it's definitely within my wheelhouse, and obviously going across multiple platforms myself, even for continuing creating content, is also something we can talk about outside of just the streaming aspect. Uploading to multiple platforms, I do think, to all your points, it is getting more interesting now, and the ease of doing it, especially with the restriction requirements lifted from, you know, the biggest contender here being Twitch, where they really kept you exclusive and forced that upon you for so long. It's starting to change the landscape of the game. I think over the next couple of years, we're going to see more people successfully utilizing multi-streaming, or even if it isn't the main focus of what they're doing, it is an aspect that they're maybe not broadcasting about, but are actively doing. Even some of the biggest YouTube streamers still have a stream up on Twitch, or will have a stream up on TikTok, or whatever the platform of their choice might be.
Yeah, I mean, I started streaming 2010. On Justin and a platform called Ustream, and then later Twitch and a platform called Own3D. When multi-streaming first became a thing, it wasn't actually that controversial. It was like, no, this doesn't make sense. Like, get your content everywhere. And it was janky, as you said, like there's multiple OBS setups. It was not easy to do it, but none of the platforms actually had a problem with it. They were just like, whatever, do it. It wasn't until money and contracts started coming into the fold, and this was kind of that 2014 like to 2016 window, when there started to be a lot of competitions between the different platforms, whether it was Twitch and Mixer or Twitch and Facebook or YouTube and Facebook, when all that started happening, that's when everyone started getting a little bit more defensive. And like,
even the contract that I had, I wasn't sure if I was technically allowed to stream elsewhere because I had like one of the original partnership agreements on Twitch. And I sent an email to him. I was just like, hey, listen, you know, I'm trying to read this and understand it. I don't know. Is it okay for me to stream somewhere else? And they just replied with, get a lawyer. And being as early on in the journey as I was, I didn't know how to deal with any of that. So I was like, I'm just going to cancel this because I don't care. You know, I've got like 100 subscribers, whatever. Anyways, like, I'd rather have my freedom with this. I'm just going to cancel this, whatever. And then they did start to really crack down on a lot of the contracts. Then, you know, even affiliates, you can't stream anywhere else, can't have to wait 24 hours, etc., which they never really enforced, but it was more of, I didn't know what was going to happen. And if things started to take off, I didn't want somebody to come after me. Maybe that would have been good drama to even have, to where that would blow up. So I don't know. I wasn't worried about it. I was more so just trying to focus on it. But it did become a very contentious point in terms of trying to get the exclusive contract. And we saw Mixer doing this shift. So it's been a very a big thing, which is also why I'm curious of, you know, I think everybody's got their own individual reason for it, but with Twitch even lifting a lot of their restrictions, I'm surprised we haven't seen even more creators take the shift into streaming elsewhere and throwing up additional live streams, even for the sake of just promoting over to their Twitch while they are live. But I feel like a lot of that is ingrained already with how they've been doing it.
I think that is it. I think that's exactly it. Because if I think of you, when you were on YouTube and you started streaming, you were just like, oh, like I'm going to start streaming, I'm going to get everywhere. But I think for a lot of people who started streaming first, like that was their kind of first foray into content creation. I think there is just an ingrained mindset that this is my streaming platform. This is my chat. These were all my, you know, animations are, my community is built here. This is where my hub is. And a lot of that was Twitch. And I think it's just an ingrained mindset that they're struggling to break out of, because that's just the way that they've been. And I'd love to beat that up with you. I mean, is it all pros with multi-streaming? I mean, back in the day, it was a little bit technically complicated to set up, right? You got multiple OBSs, you're already doing 100 things. The idea of like having something that could potentially break, and like this was so common before where you're multi-streaming and like suddenly YouTube dies and you're just like, what the hell? You know, and you're like trying to fix it on the side while playing the game. You're like desperately trying to get it back up. And then you basically just make a decision like, oh, well, I guess that's not going to work now. And you just focus on your Twitch stream or your Facebook stream, whatever. It's a little bit more robust. There's still issues with like, you know, some of the intricacies of it, but it's more robust now. There's companies like Restream, StreamYard. I mean, even OBS has just gotten a lot more advanced technically, where they can handle multiple streams, and it's a lot more, a lot smoother from a technical perspective.
So I like to typically just think things in terms of ROI. Like if you're going to spend X amount of time doing something, setting it up, potential problems, all the things that you listed there outside of all the other things that can go wrong, do you actually get a return on that investment from it? And I think short term, especially for a lot of the people that have already been streaming and building specifically that, who may not have built up a YouTube, may not have built up a TikTok or done any of these other things in the first place, it's going to be a much longer time investment before they get that return. So that is a big hurdle in terms of, now I've got to spend an extra 10 minutes. Now I have to figure out a thumbnail for a YouTube stream, a Facebook stream, whatever, that was never even in consideration. You just click the live button, you got to do a preview, tag, title, becomes a lot more important. The competition, it's such a different process in the first place that I think that's a huge deterrent. This is also then why there's an opportunity there, right? When you have some of the biggest names that aren't throwing up a stream, people literally rip these guys' streams. I've seen streams of like Nick A30 on Facebook with 2,000 people watching, and it's not his live stream. Like, these are just people that know the content's that good. If we just repurpose it over to here and get the audience that is never going to see it or go over to it and get a lot of, like, there is an opportunity with it. So getting past that initial hurdle or figuring it out, I think is hard. But the opportunity aspect I mentioned, this is what I took advantage of. So while these other streams are blowing up and going crazy on Twitch, I'm trying to get into that fray of popping off and getting my content over there and driving people from my YouTube just to lose half of my revenue there. I realized, well, I can't compete there anyways. I don't have the amount of time to stream to what these guys are doing. I'm literally losing half of the revenue of what I'm doing, driving people there. And so that became for me, well, if I can focus on YouTube gaming, which I did for a while before multi-streaming, and as those tools became available, then now this is a differentiator. This is something that I can highlight that is different. I mean, how many people have built up over 1,000 people, especially back then on Patreon, and been able to do that? Was nobody, really. And the same thing, even streaming on Facebook, there was really nobody doing that when I first started with it. And so that was, and it's not to say like, hey, this is your solution to whoever's listening to this. You know, oh, I got to go here and do this exact thing for it. But it's more so, where can you find the opportunity? Because this is something that, you know, a lot of people laughed at me for. back then. And it's the same thing now where it's like, where is there an opportunity for you to jump in on that same aspect for a different game, for different whatever? And it's still something that people are applying today. And it's still something I'm applying even with the content and what I'm creating now as I shift direction, more so probably for the video side of what I've been going after recently. But it's still the same approach.
One of the things that I often hear when someone's considering multi-streaming and they're on Twitch is like, I don't want to fragment my audience. I want to concentrate and like, you know, I'm on the way up. Like I'm still great. You're super established. You can do all this stuff, right? But I'm on the way up and I want to concentrate my efforts in one place, like on Twitch. And there's this fear that by simul-streaming, you know, my audience is not going to concentrate on Twitch and I'm not going to concentrate my subs there, my eyes there, my focus there. And I used to think that way too. When I was at Facebook in the 2016-17 era, I was like, you know, it's really important that we kind of migrate audiences. So I was like, let's take the hypothetical situation. You've got a big audience on YouTube. Let's bring that audience or a good chunk of that audience onto Facebook. And that was my thinking in 2016. But I mean, after doing enough of these deals and also working with enough creators, the thing that I realized was there's actually, you're not cannibalizing an audience. It's by and large, a completely new audience that you're cultivating and getting content to on that platform, whether it's Facebook, whether it's YouTube, TikTok, whatever the platform is, it's ultimately a net new audience. And that's just an evolution in my own thinking after being in it for years. What's your perspective?
There is a percentage that will be willing to shift, right? Realistically, though, how many of you guys have a TikTok page, have an Instagram? Maybe it's not that. Maybe it's whatever. You have something and you try and bring somebody over to another platform. You've got a Twitch and you try and bring them into the Discord. How difficult is it to do that? It's extremely hard. It's only a percentage, and often a very small percentage, that will make that shift. Sometimes there's a little bit easier of a path from one platform to another. More people that use Twitch are likely to use X, from what I've found. A lot of that's just built because the audience is there. They don't have those tools natively on Twitch to create something like Twitter there. And so a lot of the creators go there by themselves. But there's still a different audience on each of those platforms that is, to your point, an organic audience that will be built off of it. And what I would say is, if you're on Twitch, there are a lot of cases where keeping everybody there could be the right move, right? You don't want even 1% or 10% of those people to leave for somewhere else that's going to have zero viewers. And now you can't even build, like, nobody's watching the YouTube anyways. One person's not going to make a difference. Keep them on Twitch to get more numbers because you're already almost to the top of the category. And if you get to the top of the category, that's how all the discoverability happens on Twitch. This is probably the logic that's going through your head, challenging it. But what I would say is challenge yourself even further on it and look long-term for where you want to be, you know, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, when you eventually want to even retire here. Is the plan for you to stream for 10 hours every day forever on Twitch until you've somehow made enough? Maybe you do keep going forever on it. What if you need a month off? What if you have a kid? Whatever. Does it make more sense to you for you to have a solid Instagram that you can keep another audience engaged on, or TikTok, or YouTube? Obviously is a very big one that most people try and fight for. You spending the time to build up another platform, and it may not be actually multi-streaming right away, right? Like, you going over and doing multi-streaming on YouTube when you don't have anybody there may not be the solution. I think for a lot of people it can be, because often the content is very good and compelling, even if it's an approach where you start the stream on Instagram or on Twitch, and then it's something you come in later on when you're really ready to get into the content and start this live stream as a video, because people will go back to old VODs on YouTube. Things surface so you can rewatch content. You've kind of got, maybe it's like an hour or two segment of that is from your stream, is also a part of on your YouTube. Not to get too much in the weeds here, but it may be you building more of a video focus or whatever that it's a vlog channel, whatever that is that you can incorporate into it into the future. And so I don't think it is a one size fits all. Everybody needs to multi-stream to everything. Because you also do need to have, to even the way that I'm approaching the content there, like you need to have content that does work on multiple platforms in the first place. Audiences, to your point, you're building an organic audience on each of them. Audiences will be different across many of them, and how they want to consume content, what they're looking for. But this is what I would challenge yourself to figure out. And does it make sense? Because the diversification, especially as you do get things going, is very powerful. Especially even, you know, we've seen platforms completely go away, like Mixer, like Vine. We've seen platforms that are now being threatened to go away, like TikTok. It's not sold. It's going to be going away. So to keep yourself robust and in the long term, and sometimes it does require a hard look of like, am I taking the right approach for this? I felt something similar even when I would do a stream and I had 0 to 5 people there. I can't justify streaming this week. You know, I've got to work on more videos to build up a bigger audience to get enough people that are actually in the live stream, because I'm constricted on my time from when I was in college, when I'm constricted on time when I was working full time, 7 to 5 every, it's like, I don't have the time to just do a 10-hour-a-day stream and build up a Twitch audience. So I've got to find another way to get a competitive advantage of what's going on here. I didn't start with having a million people following me to the point of, oh, you've already built up whatever. I built those things up. And for me, figuring out ways to do that on YouTube live streams, videos, on Instagram, more so at the time, as well as building up through Facebook videos. That's how I built an audience who then wants to come through to the stream. And we're seeing some of the top people that are blowing up in recent, you know, year or two, pretty much exactly what they're doing through TikTok. If you even look at like Jinxy, he was streaming every single day, but he's also finding other ways to make content and reach audiences through TikTok, etc. So
there was an approach, at least in the past, where it was kind of lazy. It was like, you know, I'm going to stream anyway, I'll just spread it everywhere. But there wasn't really, like, I think the part that was missing there was like, okay, what does that audience need on that platform? Like, how do I need to package it, or how do I need to think about it? What, like you mentioned, like starting the game right in the action on YouTube, or it's thinking about the live thumbnail.
And to clarify even what I did back then, and because there was other people that were doing multi-streaming back then. To my knowledge, I was one of the most successful at this. And a big part of that was not even that it was like straight into a game, because it depended on the platform. But I would stream on YouTube, which had, you know, 2,000-3,000 people there. I'd have it on Twitch, which had a couple hundred people there. And I'd have it on Facebook, which had another 1,000-2,000 people there that I'm streaming out to. So these are all very different audiences. And to the point of Twitch being some of the least effective, I had built my audience the least off of there. But also I did start in a much more engaging way, to where when these notifications go out and somebody comes in on YouTube or on Facebook, I need to be in the content. A lot of times I was talking and would go straight into a game. I would even be halfway through a game on like PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, because at that point when people see it, oh, you know, you're already halfway through the game, you're already in a top 25, top 30 situation. But this was also a game that was very slow, so I could just sit in a building and still have that suspense of it's coming closer to an end game and keep somebody hooked on for it, but still start talking and engaging and working on here's what the content is going to be for the day. And there would be kind of a mission for it. And one of my favorite examples still to this day, all the way back then and still to this day, is Typical Gamer. There were some other good names, especially back then, that did a lot of really consistent live streaming, like NoahJ456 and... But Typical is a guy that has like a, even still, like a 2 to 3 hour live stream with like a mission of what he's going for, and he'll introduce it and get into the content. And it's less of the people keep coming in, you repeating the same question over and over again, but you're creating an overarching, there might be an element of it and you addressing whatever the topic is, but there's an overarching story and stream that now lives for a video as well. And that was very much what I was targeting within Battlefield, within PUBG, within all the games that I was playing. Battlefront as that came out, that then had something that could continue on. And now it became very, and keeping the stream shorter would keep more people wanting to come back as I would end the stream on a high note, etc. But that works across all the platforms, and it still was working on Twitch as well. Very different from what was happening and still happens. And sometimes it works for people in different platforms, but if you're doing the full thing that's working on Twitch, it's not going to be as effective on YouTube, where you do have a typical gamer creating the piece that's meant for the algorithm, right? And there's more people that are now even dedicated specific YouTube streamers that are creating specific for that platform that are still, they're going to be surfacing higher in the algorithm because that content's more engaging, and you've got to figure out how do you fight within that. Maybe it's not the exact same game. Maybe it's a different category. Maybe it's a different way that he's even approaching the content, because there's tons of names that are big within Fortnite, right? Even on Twitch for it. But
yeah, it feels like there's still a lot of opportunity on that front. One of the things that's obviously happened is the contracts that are kind of going away. They're not those big platform contracts. We've seen a couple of creators start to do the simulcasting. I'm trying to think, like, who's the clear winner on the platform? And if you're listening live, like, I'd love any names that you think are like crushing multi-streaming right now. But I mean, Ninja was obviously the biggest example of someone who was like, I'm on every platform. Like, he was on X, and I don't even, he probably streamed on LinkedIn, to be honest.
I think he made the biggest deal of the announcement and becoming multi-streaming. Even on Twitter, he was on Facebook, TikTok, he was on Instagram, which nobody goes live on, because there's no discoverability there in the first place. And he had a separate phone that was popped up. I have been scouring every, I love looking at like what everybody's doing. So I've got a lot of examples that we could even get into for some of them, but he was an interesting one that obviously was on the biggest scale. And then ultimately, like, he doesn't do it on Facebook anymore. He doesn't do it on Instagram. Doesn't do it. Sometimes I do see him on Twitter for it still. Still keeps TikTok. But he kind of figured out what was working for him and then continuing off of it, because you do have to kind of build those individual audiences. But he also doesn't have the same approach that, well, it really depends. It depends. But there's different approaches that people take. I think his has been just a very wide net. He does have the chat and things that he interacts with for it, but he's also such a big streamer that he has the name recognition at this point. He's done the work off of all the other stuff that he needs to where he's not taking as aggressive of an approach as he used to with his content, I would say.
Yeah, I haven't, in the chat, we got Player X is saying Teep is going between TikTok and Twitch. Breezy's TikTok and Kick. I know Teep and I know Breezy, but I haven't really seen how their content's doing.
I've been keeping up with Teep's content a bit. He's very good within that same format, honestly. Like, he's doing weapons testing. He's pulling a lot of his stuff that he does within that for then for X videos or Twitter videos that he throws up on his day. Typical gamer also is doing multi-streaming, although he's still very focused on the YouTube side. He still has a Twitch presence that he'll throw up. And then sometimes at the end of his 3-hour segment on his YouTube stream, he'll say, all right, I'm going to continue going over on Twitch, because he's just playing the game and enjoying some time on the game, but it's not necessarily going to be new enough or enticing enough content, I would assume, from how he's approaching it, at least. I don't know if I've heard him say this, but it's not going to fit within that YouTube video, and then making it longer drags the content out to the point where people may not watch through as much, may not have the same retention. He may not have the same energy as well. I noticed this with myself, is like, I've got the first 2 hours are really a good, that's where I can provide the most on this or within the content, and like even the most planned out content. After that, it can get a little more dicey, especially if you're doing something that like you've already completed the obligation of the title and thumbnail of the video. Getting off on the rest of it may not make the most sense. So he switches out. He just says, I'm going to continue over on Twitch. And he just streams longer on Twitch afterwards. So there's a lot of approaches to it, but I think regardless of what it is, it's figuring out what works for your audience for that. And how do you continue to build for those individual audiences? And I think at the beginning, a lot of the names here, obviously these are going to be the bigger names anyways. Nick A30 also mentioned here, Twitch, YouTube, Shorts, TikTok all at once, for it. Nick also has extremely engaging content, even to my point earlier, where his content just gets ripped somewhere else. A lot of these guys, this is the case, right? Like if your content is so explosive or compelling, like a lot of times that content, even just ripped into clips, can pop off elsewhere as well.
One of the things that we've covered a lot of, kind of the pros, some of the challenges, but what are, like, is there any real hard negatives to multi-streaming?
I think a lot of it is the ROI of you spending the time and setting it up. But if you're getting zero back from that, then it's just that's that hard part where now you've just spent all this time for what?
Yep.
And a lot of times it comes down to the what's already being delivered in the first place. So I think really it can be a pitfall for the sake that, you know, you're just spending time on something that you're not ready for. Or it does not make sense to even do in the first place. Now, because it is such a light lift, I tend to think, you know, tick the button on for some of the other platforms to just cast the bigger net, because you never know if you get the right title, you get the right thing. It's just another opportunity, right? If you've just got the stream up on another platform and you've got a good title for it and somebody clicks through and like, what the heck is going on here? They could find you from it. I guess maybe the more downside is, if you don't have any content there, people could see you and then be like, first impressions can be very important. So if their first impression of you to your platform that you're streaming on, maybe you even already have a decent YouTube audience, but the content that you're producing on YouTube is extremely different than what you're producing for your videos. Say you've got these really high energy, crazy clips that are going up, and then somebody comes to your stream and it's you just sitting there quietly, not talking to anybody, playing a game or playing, you know, even in Ninja's example, people know him as the crazy high energy, blue hair, yelling, super incredible gamer, pro at PUBG, pro at pro, all these pro gamer moves, right? And then they come into the stream and he's playing Final Fantasy 6
and
whatever
raging,
the game was.
And he's just like unhappy.
Yeah, like, you know, but he's not really like, there's nothing. It's a very, very different style of game. Yeah. And he's not approaching that game in the same style of what he does. He has an insane audience watching him play the game by all means. But I think that can then be a negative that I see, is where people will come through and, you know, if it's on your side platform and like you've got the caveats, like, hey, this is my extra channel. Maybe that's even an approach that helps to mitigate it, right? You've got a second YouTube channel that's just designed to be your Twitch VODs channel. This is how, even when Tim the Tapman switched over to YouTube, he approached some of his content and having this separate page. You kind of can have like a little bit of a scapegoat. I see even Asmongold does something similar, where he's got his main channel that's like his, oh, I'm too stressed to stream on this channel, so I'm going to stream on my second channel where I don't care and everything's just, this is a different vibe of content. And he's built a different audience, literally a different audience, who is willing to watch him yell about stuff, talk about rant, whatever. But he's specifically, even on Twitter, and he doesn't run any ads on it, whatever, but it's more designed for his YouTube channel. So now you've got a completely different approach that people can follow to the specific thing that they want to. But if you get people through, even if they click through to the Twitch, but I think a lot of people understand the Twitch content is a little different from, you know, if you're streaming for 10 hours a day, it's going to usually be a little bit different than what would be in a short form piece. But that's also the opportunity that I think a guy like Jinxie really took advantage of, where other people have that disconnect between the content that's posting. If you watch one of his clips and he's kicking his camera, you go to his stream, he doesn't do a 15-hour, 10-hour stream. He does a shorter stream and he's kicking his camera the entire way through his live stream and screaming his head off. And like, he is there for the energy of the stream for the entire time. It's not him, you know, sitting around playing some other thing. That's something that's resulted very well for him over this time. And it's still the same format, right? This is exactly what I was doing. This is still how people are figuring out how to kind of get to a point. And if you have a big enough audience and then you kind of just, you know, you do diverge from that, there's still going to be a sizable audience. I think a lot of people would be incredibly happy with, you know, like how Summit1G even runs his streams. He's got 10,000 people that'll watch him doing whatever he wants, but it's also not the 100,000 when he was popping off taking his approach of what he was doing with Sea of Thieves, or even same thing with Shroud when he's, you know, going for 100,000 subscribers playing Apex Legends, grinding his FPS games or Counter-Strike, whatever.
I want to switch gears a bit to one of, I think, the bigger challenges of multi-streaming, which is managing engagement, managing the community, and building your community, right? Like, when, I mean, you, I think you're one of the most savvy, or one of the people that think the hardest about this challenge, all the way back to the Patreon days when you were building your Patreon and having a centralized place to manage subscribers versus it being kind of fragmented across platforms. I think this is, I want to split this into two parts. One is like building your community is one part. And then the second is like engaging live with the audience.
I know a lot of people don't like to think of content creation as a business and under that kind of umbrella, but here we are. This is what it is. And a lot of us, this is our livelihood. And a lot of people are trying to make this their livelihood. So when you look at it in terms of like a marketing perspective, and you're trying to treat this as a funnel, you kind of have this giant top of funnel aspect where everybody can come in. You try and cast as big of a net as you can for that. And you're bringing people down into what is the kind of the core community. A lot of the people that will watch your content at the top of the funnel might absolutely hate you. And oftentimes that works for you and is like, that's just the process of making content. There's going to be a lot of people that I see a lot of messages now. Streamers ruin Call of Duty. Streamers ruin Destiny. Streamers ruin every single game you could think of, whatever. But here I am still streaming, and those people watch the content at surface level, leave comments hating on it. And then there's also an aspect of other people that then see that and kind of root for you. Okay, this guy makes sense though. He is literally, this is exactly how I feel about the game, and I play this every single day. This resonates with me. So this other guy has no idea what they're even talking about. Like, you're going to have the dichotomy there. But this is kind of the top end of the funnel. So the person who is engaging with you and is interested or would want to hear more or get even into said community has something to say about the topic that you're mentioning that may be a comment that goes completely unheard but would be a good discussion for a live stream if they came through at the right time or you read that comment on stream. Now, this is kind of the core community, and it's going to be a small percentage relative to the people that view all of your content. And sometimes even if you try and cast that net too big, like you're never going to find the person underneath it. It's like you're just being, if you're just agreeing with everything, right? So then having that place for the community and having the extra thing, I even always thought about it at the end of like a video. Where am I sending the person at the end of the video to another video that I have to build up more of a relationship at the beginning of this to see if they are interested in everything that I have to say? So then having the next layer for me was the Patreon was like the end of funnel. And really that wasn't even it. It was the Discord. My Discord has kind of been my general hub for the community where I'm trying to problem solve and bring people together as much as I can. And it's not easy to do because there's also not a lot of, you know, you don't really make money on Discord. There's not ad rev for it. Now, though, they do have subscriptions that you can use. And to the point of you can make money, it's through tying in Patreon, tying in Twitch, tying in these other things for it, and creating something actually there that's useful, what the community needs. Sometimes it's hard because there's already a need filled for whatever it is, especially with how many servers there are, but it's still looking for what I was talking about earlier, kind of the opportunity within it. And a lot of times that opportunity is you. You are the connection for it. And so you actually being active there and participating is, that's like the element. Right. And so even as I've switched away from Discord and trying to build my Facebook over the years and built up a Facebook group with, 300,000 people in that, a separate private group for my subscribers within that, it's where I'm active. It's where I'm at and kind of contributing, seeing things. A lot of times, even at, a Q&A, I've done a lot of exclusive streams that are just Q&As for people or hangouts. We used to do Discord, like as they introduced stages, we would do things there where it was just exclusive Q&As on it, et cetera. But having kind of the place for people to come together who are interested, who do want to go further with the content is the basis of it. Now, it may be very different. I think some really good examples of how people have done it more recently, even for that community, is a guy like Queso, is this kind of over-the-top, outrageous guy who makes a lot of jokes about himself and his weight and how he approaches everything. And he lets the community come together on Discord to submit content for his stream where he reacts to it. And he will literally on his stream just watch himself he'll watch the Discord and react to the posts of what people are putting there. And he's got an incredible cycle where he is driving people into that to create content for him that he's then reacting to. And this is no individual, you know, unique case as well. Even Kai Sinat brings a lot of people into his Discord that he then does like dates for. And we've seen this across multiple different streamers that do this, but they're bringing people together into that central place. The same exact thing can be done, and I think should be ideally done through multi-streaming. You want to have one central hub for it. It could even be your YouTube or one specific platform, but having the opportunity to engage with people, for a lot of people, it's even Reddit, right? Like if you look at Asmongold with how he centralizes his Twitch streams with his YouTube audience, it's still centralized into Reddit, and people will submit content there for him to look at, react to, whatever. Whatever is getting the most likes on it, whatever is having the conversation on Facebook, a lot of that's in groups. So there's so many tools now. It's kind of figuring out where do you want to isolate and build towards, and there's always going to be trade-offs with it. But I would say having that bottom of funnel and centralized place where you are actually participating and active for that, whether that's for the content or just outside of the content, is critical. Even if you're using that for your VOD content, whatever.
You know, you built your Patreon. And then you had to make this decision to, well, first Twitch, and then you had to make a decision to Patreon, then like Patreon over to YouTube. It feels like there's quite a high switching cost. Like when you choose to build your community or aggregate content in one place, and then you want to go somewhere else, it can be quite a painful transition.
It's so pain.
Like it feels like you can't be that flippant. Like in the sense of like, oh, I'm just going to throw up a multi-stream here and try it. It almost feels like, as regards to your community, the decision around that is much more thoughtful and much more planned out. And you almost have to commit to that for quite a while.
So this is one of the things that I even see just with people that, you know, even people that I just meet and talk to, they're like, yeah, I'm thinking about streaming. I've been doing some streaming. I'm just going to, you know, I'll just throw up a couple streams. And if it works and I get 1,000 people watching me, and I'll keep streaming. You know, and sure enough, there's zero people watching. And I mean, how many millions of stories have we heard on this, right? I think it's very similar in the aspect as well with where people will continue to switch around. Well, they'll try something out, do it for a little bit, and then it's not really working and whatever. And then they stop doing it and they try something else and they try something else. And you're never sticking to something long enough to actually see any of the results, nor learn enough on it to do what you are setting out to do. The cost of switching for things is so hard, though, because there is a cost, right? Me canceling my Twitch partnership closed a lot of doors, but it also opened a lot of additional ones as well. And it also forces you to make the decisions that then go down this road, right? I'm no longer half in here, half out here, whatever. I'm shifting. Look, this is the new path. I can't make any money on Twitch. Still putting some stuff there. It's the same thing when I switched over to Facebook. This was literally costing me money that I was relying on because I am putting up content onto Facebook that is decreasing my views to some extent to the talking about the percentage earlier of like, if I'm not driving people over to the platform where I can get the revenue, this is then going to cost me. But the idea is I'm investing in the longer term for the future of seeing the opportunity for the audience. And I've had a lot of things that I've invested in for content series, for a variety of things. I mean, there's a million, that's the risk element of this. There's always going to be a risk with any of the decisions that you make. And I think sometimes that risk puts a good fire under you to actually get what you need to done. But
I totally agree with that. It's the decisiveness. It's almost the indecisiveness is more costly than the decisiveness.
And I've talked to so many people over the years now that, you know, were committed on one platform for an extended period of time, never did anything else. And then, you know, it's 5-6 years later and it's like, man, I should have been doing some more stuff on YouTube when I was popping off on this other stuff. Even if it's 1,000 views, like maybe it would have been 2,000, maybe it would have been 10,000 views, but it's so small relative to my other stuff that, you know, who cares? Now they're like, damn, dude, I can't even get 1,000 views on whatever it is, because now I'm starting behind and trying to figure that out and whatever. So sometimes that making that move early, it can cost you in the short term, but it's like, that's what I'm talking about for the long term of it. Is like, does this make sense for you to figure that out? There's always going to be a cost and risk with anything that you go on. And a lot of times that's, you know, for me, even going to Facebook, that's why so many people were laughing at me, is like, they don't even see it. But then that's where the opportunity lies, right? Like, I've been able to build a ton of stuff off of that. And honestly, that's what helped push another 1 million subscribers over to my YouTube page, was blowing this page up to 3 million subscribers, because people kept transferring over. And now I've got so much more recognition. Like, in the long term, the investment paid off massively for me. But it costs you in the short term. Sometimes you got to make sure you're in a position that you can make that move. Just like for a lot of people, that it's that move for the first push that you go full-time streaming, right? That was the same thing for me too, where I've got enough saved up, invested, that I feel in myself that I feel confident to go at this for 6 months, see how it goes. And I felt even more confident than that, right? And I think that's a case for a lot of people.
Like, when you start to get a little complacent or things become a little bit easy, that's almost like your signal that you need to start doing something different.
Keep challenging yourself with it.
That's like when you make that decision, because too often on Twitch, especially, it's 4 years of coasting, doing really well on Twitch. And then they're like, damn it, why did I not make a YouTube channel? That's like the most common example that I see. I want to switch to the engagement side. You know, managing multiple live streams and multiple platforms. You've got bits, stars, you've got subscriptions. Like, that's a lot to manage. Yeah. It's a lot to manage on one stream plus chat. How do you think about it when it comes to multiple streams? And what are some of the challenges that have come up and you anticipate coming up on that side?
I think the most basic level of it really is just the chat and like the people that are actually in the stream. There is a disconnect when you are answering a question for somebody and the other people in chat don't even see the message in the first place, because it's on a different platform. I think this is a big thing that I hear from people. Is like, I like having my audience there because I can just talk to everybody and we're all in one place. To which I would kind of argue, well, if you look at some of the streamers that, you know, we'll go back to like Asmongold, for example, even when his chat is on the stream and I've tried to read through and read the questions that he's actually reading, I can't even find it, to where to me, he's just making up the question of the person who's arguing with him and going off of it. And that's if I even am looking, and maybe I'm missing it. It doesn't matter. The point is like, the origin of the message, I think for the most part, doesn't matter. You can still have the community element with it. And I think a lot of people even get, myself, I think I even spent a lot of, maybe too much time figuring that out. But it was a lesson that I learned early, where when I was creating the stream for multiple people and multi-streaming, I just created the content. I didn't really focus on, hey, here's where the, and even to that point of, I'll finish the thought. There's not really a big benefit when you are streaming on Twitch to acknowledge the, hey, this is a YouTube comment coming in from blah, 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 blah. Maybe it can try and push more people from your Twitch over to YouTube. But also, that person that's watching does not care, talking about the organic audiences that we build on each of these platforms. They're not going there anyways. They're there for the show on Twitch. This is where they're just popping from their other favorite person they like watch. This is their community that they already have there. It just doesn't matter. To where if the content is still there, like, just create the content regardless. If the message comes in from somewhere else, it doesn't matter if the topic's good and somebody wants to listen to it and likes your thoughts, and that can be a clip that can be posted somewhere else. Everybody who watches the videos afterwards or the clips that go viral, or they don't care who was there. The people that are there care because they say, hey, YouTube, hi, whatever. They'll leave the messages if it pops up on the stream, but everybody else doesn't care. So to me, if you're engaging, there can be good opportunities to cross promote and get people aware of what's going on. But even when I was streaming back on the day and pulling 2,000 concurrents on each of the platforms, it was not something that I was ever actively trying to do. The only thing I was actively trying to do was the centralized hub of Patreon or Discord, for additional community, additional whatever. But I was trying to build the individual audiences for what they were. I have seen some good uses of this as well, even recently with like Zlaner will keep up both of his streams on Facebook and YouTube, and he'll keep like a subscriber counter on YouTube. So people kind of have this passive interest in going to his YouTube page and clicking subscribe to see the number go up. This was something I used a lot of back in the day as well to try and push for a million subscribers. But still, at the end of the day, a lot of people will just stick with whatever platform and where they are engaging in the first place. So I think it's really more, my point is, on the streamer to figure out the chat and to manage everything and to not make that an issue. Because if you think about the percentage of the people that are at the top of the funnel I was talking about earlier that are watching, do they care at all where you're streaming or your difficulties with trying to, oh, chat's hard to manage across this and this? No, the easier that you make it, just like the easier you make it look that the stream is, that whatever you're doing, it's so easy you could care less. This guy's job's whatever. That often is like, that's the extra, you know, when you see a professional NBA player swishing threes nonstop and it's just, damn, this guy makes it look so, he's so good at what he does. You want to come across like that most of the time. Where it's like, all right, I've just got all the chats up. I'm just managing everything simultaneously. It's so seamless. You don't even realize that it's kind of happening so that you can focus on the key content of what is going to interest more people and bring them in. Now, you might have an audience that is interested in the streaming element. Everybody that's listening here today, you guys are interested in streaming and content creation. There is an audience for that, but it's also a much smaller audience. I'm not doing this talk out for my, like on my main stream with my main audience because they don't care about these topics. They're interested in what's the latest game, what's the clip, what's the whatever that is more interesting. There's an element here that is, and probably a clip would work with them, but a full hour discussion talking about this and getting into some of the weeds of it is very, very much more specific to a certain type of creator that would want to see that.
When stuff's not going right, and you like call attention to that, it actually detracts from the content. And sometimes you can turn it into something, but usually that negativity is, it's just not necessary. It's like, you don't have to, it doesn't add value in majority of cases.
Yeah. And honestly, some of the best people in at it that can convert that. Like I think of even like Dr. Disrespect, when something goes wrong, like he's not necessarily the best player, but he will go in and he will get content regardless of what happens. It could be the worst thing that is happening, what, like he has got some thing in the back of his mind, in the back of his pocket, he's done enough reps on it that he can turn that into something else. And it doesn't always work, but at least there's still something there, and then there's opportunities for it. So that's kind of what I would look for with engaging.
I wanted to close out, you know, we're almost at the hour, and I want to close out with just thinking about the evolution of multi-stream. We talked about at the beginning, you know, it was, everyone kind of did it, but it was hard. Then it became like, you can't do it because contractually you're stopped doing it. In October last year, Twitch kind of embraced simulcasting finally, and that's opened up a lot of opportunity. Where do you see things going? Like, is there any evolution to multi-streaming that's coming? Do you anticipate anything? Is there anything that you're particularly excited about that this opens up for creators?
There is a window of opportunity for creators, I think, both at the high end of this to, you know, absolutely nail the multi approach and build an audience that is bigger than what has ever been created. I think even at the smaller end, there's an opportunity to cast a wider net with no repercussion, and also a lot of people that aren't doing it yet. There are more than there was, but still not the vast majority, right? I think the bigger shift will come once there is some crazy big win that occurs where you've got somebody who's got 100K on both of the platforms watching this insane content that they're creating and making, you know, ridiculous amounts of money to where now everybody's flooding in because they want a piece of it, right? And this is where, this is what we've seen with a lot of the shifts that a lot of people make. It's not until there's somebody that's making a ton of money doing it in the first place that the shift ends up happening afterwards. And so the earlier that you can be to figure this out or to solve that puzzle of how do I create something compelling to build a bigger audience and to get something more sustainable, bigger. Because we have seen some names doing this already across even just two platforms, essentially doubling the size of their audience and making more out of it. This is what I did as well. Until we see more of that, I don't think it's going to be massively adopted. And once it is, then, you know, it's got to be easy enough to happen for it. But once it is, it'll be less of a competitive advantage, I would say. It'll be more of like, this is just the norm of having the multiple streams up. You're going to have your stream up on YouTube and Twitch every time because YouTube, part of it's on the platform too. YouTube solved the case to have that audience that is more similar to Twitch because there's no reason that they've got such a big audience. Like they don't have parity of what Twitch even has on their platform.
It almost feels like a moment in time, you know, where, you know, multi-streaming is now allowed. It just wasn't before. Like that, it was kind of shut down. Now there's this moment in time to capitalize. In the same way, people weren't doing short form at first. Then it's like, if you're not doing short form, like you're not taking this seriously. That's kind of almost like the message now. Or someone's not trying out live. Like you're kind of missing out on not trying out the format. This just seems like another moment in time where you want to try.
The thing is, even if you are dedicated to this is my specific platform, forget that. I'm not making content that works across multiple platforms. I'm creating it for this individual audience. There's still the opportunity of putting that stream up and having at least a segment of it on a different platform that does work. Like there's got to be something within that content, especially if you have a lot of people watching in the first place. Even for the sake of a lot of these guys that just literally have somebody else cut all their content up and post a clip somewhere else for it. It's not even that it's a fan page, it's whatever. It's even somebody literally redirecting their exact stream. Maybe it's not pulling, you know, 8,000 viewers that Nick A30 typically gets, but still get a couple hundred extra people, if not a couple thousand extra people on this other platform for no extra work, literally just putting it there. There's still opportunity on the table there to even shift the people over to it that is not being, I think, fully recognized to where years down the road, I think 5-10 years from now, assuming there's no other exclusivity and whatever that happens, I just don't see why not.
You have, you know, a perspective that someone who is not at that point that they have. Like I even see with vertical streaming on, it's obviously a thing on TikTok already. There was some experiments on Facebook, but now like YouTube Shorts is trying like vertical streaming. Like that's just like a brand new thing. And you have no idea what the platform is going to do to distribute that. Like they might decide to prioritize that in some way in the algorithm because they're trying to bootstrap the product. And like you hit that wave at the right time.
And then it's risk of like, they could flop it. They could just like, back when I was streaming on YouTube, I was top three on search results for anything that I was live on because they're pushing live. And that went away and I could not get as many viewers and I could not get as many subscribers from that. And okay, now I had to pivot off of, you know, doing all of the streams constantly there. But a lot to think about there. Hopefully that gives you guys some more insight with your own streaming, with your own content. I think this is going to be a bigger topic that, you know, we could probably even retouch another year from now.
It's exciting. There's always something going on. There's always something going on. Thank you for joining us today. And those that joined live, good to see you. Happy creating content, everybody.
Absolutely.
Have a good one. Guys. Bye-bye.